you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
I am reading from St. Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 10th verse, NIV. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. That was St. Matthew 6, chapter 10th verse.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, finally Friday, April 17th, 2026. Oh, listening friend, I hope you're excited for our passage today. We journeyed together as we began this series 2 weeks ago. We did some groundwork on why did the Lord share these words with his disciples and those that were listening? How did he teach his disciples to pray? We call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's really kind of his way of teaching us how to approach the Father, how to pray, how to intercede for others. So last week we talked a little bit about the Father, Almighty God, sovereign. He's holy, he's righteous, he's just. Though sometimes we can maybe be careless when we enter into a conversation with him, we have to revere him. That awe of God is recognizing he is holy, he is sovereign. He's not to be trifled with, but yet also Jesus taught us that we can approach him as if we could see him as our loving Father who cares and delights in us. It's kind of amazing. It's a truth that many times hard to comprehend when there's so much suffering and hurt and heartache in the world. But God is good, he is true, he is holy, and he's made a way for all of us to have a relationship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we recently celebrated Easter, that Resurrection Sunday that validated he's beyond death. There's an eternity. There's a heaven set out for us. And as we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize him as our Lord and Savior, God welcomes us into his family. So if you haven't come to the point in your life where you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I hope some of our discussion today and recognizing God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so I hope you'll draw some truths, some insights, and fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the one and true way to God the Father. All right, Mark, I'm kind of us on a tangent. And I should mention that Hub, the person reading our opening passage here, Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, came in from the Champaign-Urbana area. He helps lead and oversee the Champaign-Urbana and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance. He's come to the Springfield area for a couple of the meetings, and he's really taken in the great work that you do, Mark, acting as the chaplain for the Springfield and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance under the leadership of Bishop Jonathan Franklin and a great team of pastors and ministry leaders. So Hub's in. I see Tad's here from Champaign-Urbana and other friends from all around the area. So this is kind of like our biweekly Bible study where about, I think there's 20 plus in the studio into our overflow room. Eventually, I'm hoping to raise funds and have a one set microphone downstairs that'll pick up all the voices. So we're praying up how to transition all these people into one room downstairs with our many couches and we can all have this continuing conversation. It's a discussion. Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church here in Springfield facilitates the discussion. He's been praying up different topics, and he said, let's dig into the Lord's Prayer. There's so many points of application for all of us. So, Mark, we're going to be looking at, in today's lesson, if you will, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to explore what it really means to surrender our plans, our priorities, and even our desires to the will of God, and what happens when we truly seek his kingdom first. So what's some of the groundwork you'd like to lay?
You know, Mark, this is really an important passage. We're right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is breaking this down to say, this is how you should approach prayer. And we talked about that last week and how we approach God himself. But I want to ask this question. These first three words are really important. Your kingdom come. What are we praying? What are we asking for when we say to God, your kingdom come? Hmm. Anybody in the room have a thought on what that means? I think we've touched on this a time or two before, but I want to really emphasize it again today. Your kingdom come. What would that look like? What would that be like?
Every time I hear the Lord's Prayer at noon, when we come to this phrase, I think this is acknowledging God's authority, but this is also basically expressing the desire that God's kingdom would be restored in its fullness on earth. This is the only place in the entire universe where people don't do God's will on purpose. And he's saying, let's put an end to that. Let's get this restored. Make the kingdom perfect once again.
Tad, that's really good. I would really simplify some things for anybody who's listening today. A kingdom, if you think about a kingdom is a set of rules. It's the way things work. So the simplest way I've ever thought of explaining this is if you work for company X and you resigned from there and went to work for company Z, they would hand you a handbook. And that handbook would tell you how their company works. This is how our company works. This is how you earn vacations. This is how you can get health insurance or not get health insurance. This is how you earn your money. This is how often we pay you. Here's when we want you to show up at work. All the rules of that new place would be applied to your life. And you can't look at that new place and go, oh, but my old handbook said, no, you're out of the whole old handbook now. You're in a new company. Jesus is inviting us into his kingdom, and we want to learn how to live by his kingdom while we wait for his kingdom to come. And so today, I can invite God's kingdom into my life. I have the authority to say, God, I want you to rule in my life. My wife and I can invite the kingdom of God into our home, and we can apply the rules of the kingdom in our home, and we can make them supreme in our home. We can do that in a church. You take a church that some group of people in that church decide to live outside of the rules of the kingdom and live by the rules of the kingdom of the world, and you're going to have disruption in that church setting, in that home setting, in my life. So Jesus is inviting us into his kingdom. So when we get saved, Hebrews tells us, when we ask Christ into our life, when we receive the work of Christ on the cross, we are made perfect. We've talked about this just before Easter. We are made perfect before God. Now, we are made perfect, it goes on to say, while we are being made holy. We are not perfect in reality. We are perfect in the sight of God because he's forgiven us of our sin through the work of Christ on the cross. But there's a process now of me learning how to live in the kingdom of God. And the more I do that, the more I will bring the peace of God into my life, the more I'll bring order into my life, the more I'll have the wisdom of God in my life, even though I'm living in a chaotic world. I can still walk with that peace and that strength of God. So that's where he's beginning this as we look at this verse. He's saying, pray for the kingdom to come. And how does it come? It comes through revelation. It comes through the revelation of his word being applied to my life. God, I'm opening my heart to you. Let me read your word. The psalmist prays it over and over again. Teach me your statutes. Show me how to live for you. Reveal your truth to me. Let me walk in you. So we pray for those things to happen so that we know how to apply his truth into every relationship in our lives.
I'm thinking for the listener that's tuned in, and maybe it's the first time they've experienced what we call the Lord's Prayer. Is it easy? Does it just come naturally? Like if somebody says, well, do I just say these words and then everything works out well?
I don't think Jesus gave us this to give us a rote prayer to pray. You can pray it that way. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think he's giving us principles to pray by. And as we begin to pray, it's not a magic wand that we wave over and everything's transformed. It is, again, a revelation that comes step by step, day by day, as we grow in Christ and learn the pathway of Christ.
I know many people have referenced this, and it's been said different ways, but God always answers prayers. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait, or sometimes it's maybe. It could be a variation, like you're praying for this, and had said earlier before we prayed for this program that sometimes it's kind of good God doesn't answer our prayer according to what we want, because it's not always good or healthy or the best.
Yeah, I'm talking with the young man right now. a few weeks ago, he had a job offer. It wasn't an offer. He was applying for a job, let me be clear. And boy, he was excited about it. It fit what he studied at school, his family background, how he'd grown up. It fit with how he grew up. It was a good entry-level position. He was looking for an entry-level position. Everything about it was just perfectly aligned, he felt, for him. And he went in, he had the interview, he talked to me later. The interview went really good. He felt really good about it. He was really excited. And about a week later, he got the call, and he didn't get the job. Mm. And he was really, really disappointed. And then about 3 weeks went by, he was facing that disappointment. And God changed some circumstances in his home. Some circumstances in his life changed. Some desires of what he wanted to do in life had changed because of these circumstances. And all of a sudden, it became crystal clear that job wouldn't have been good for him. Mm-hmm. And he got another position that was good for him for what God was doing. God knew what he didn't know. And so I've said it on this program before. I'll say it again here today. I've taught my kids over and over again, try to teach our church, sometimes you have to get God's no so you can get to God's yes. Mm-hmm. And if I can rest in that instead of being disappointed, instead of being upset and worried and concerned, when I get the no, if I can look at it and say, oh, God must have something better for me. Mm-hmm. He does have something better for me. He has something different for me. Then instead of my life being filled with worry and fret, it's filled with the trust of God. And I'm trusting in him and counting on him to reveal his plan and to walk with me in life.
Yeah, I think when you were saying, what do you get or discern or glean out of your kingdom come, the word that I wrote down was surrendering. We're really seeking what God's will is. And I'm thinking of my brother here, Hub. In fact, I'm going to have him on to share some of this journey he's been on this last month or two. But his daughter was in a tragic accident. They didn't know if she would make it and live. And so I'm thinking, Hub, your prayer life was like XYZ. But as we were driving here today, you also said how the Lord has turned so many of these experiences into other answered prayer and different layers of prayer that you wouldn't have even prayed prior to what he took you through with Victoria and her healing process.
Right. So thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When the doctor told me that I needed to sign a paper because she might not make it out of surgery, she might stroke out, have a heart attack, or have a seizure, I had to immediately put on the mind of Christ. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So I immediately had to put on the mind of Christ. The scripture tells us to set our affections on above, right? Or transform your mind. What the good pastor was saying, you have to, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You got to put on the kingdom mindset. And when I saw my daughter landing, I couldn't let the circumstances affect my kingdom mindset. I had to put on the kingdom mindset. And for the listeners, you know, the kingdom mindset tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. The kingdom mindset says, look behind the fault and see the need. Are you kidding me? They did this to me, and you want me to look behind that and see the need? Or this one is really good. Love your enemy? Love your enemy? Are you kidding? That's my enemy. But that's what the good pastor was talking about. That's the kingdom mind. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. An old preacher told me this when I was in the army. He said, some of the best answered prayers are unanswered.
Hmm. You know, what we're talking about right there is that we don't understand things. We don't see them well, and God's inviting us to think a different way. Some of those, we see them clearly spelled out in Scripture that we just heard spoke about. Some things we don't necessarily see spelled out in Scripture. We don't know what the end is. And we pray for God's will to be done and pray for the strength of God to accept that will, to receive it in faith, and to trust in God. We live in a day today where this teaching has kind of permeated America. And I want you to look at this teaching in the Sermon on the Mount as fundamental for revelation. All of Scripture reveals itself. All of Scripture balances itself. All of Scripture comes back to fundamental truths. So whatever Scripture I may read, I've got to understand the fundamental truths of what that topic is about. So you hear today somebody say, Well, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. So I'm going to ask for a new car, or I'm going to ask to hit the lotto. I'm going to ask for this, that, or the other, and I'm expecting to receive. This scripture gives us a fundamental to see all passages of scripture on prayer. Jesus is giving us the foundation of all scripture that would reveal to us how prayer works. God, your will be done. Not my will, your will. I recognize I come out of a sin nature. I recognize I come out of that sin nature that's full of selfishness. I am limited in my ability to see the future. I can't see it at all. I don't know what that would do to me. I don't know what the outcome of that would be. I've got to trust you. You've revealed enough of the future to me about eternity, but I don't know the future for tomorrow. I've got to trust you for tomorrow. But we've been raised in a society where the fundamental message has become, in some circles, name it and claim it. You know, just, you know, get it, possess it. And it puts us in the place of dictating to God what's best for me. And I've got to accept this fact. If I'm going to come to God truthfully, as Jesus would have me come to him, I don't know what's best for me. I think I do, but I don't. And I've got to trust God for what's best for me. God, your will be done.
That's it.
And this part, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Kind of share a little more, what does that mean?
Well, you think about heaven, and God's will's done in heaven.
Yeah.
there's no hesitation there. It's not being done here. Mm-hmm. I wish I could say God's will is perfectly done in my church. It's not. We're trying to get there. We're working at that. But as new people come in and people get saved and they don't know how to live for God, they've got to learn how to live in the kingdom. We've got to teach that. It's a continual process of growing. I wish I could say that, boy, the will of God always happened in my family. It doesn't always happen in my family. I wish I could say it always happens in me. It doesn't always happen in me. There's some days I have good days, and some days I get some correction from the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. I keep praying for His will to be done because I believe His will is better for me than my will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we've talked about the fruit of the Spirit and how oftentimes our intention, Lord, order my steps, create those divine appointments, help me be faithful, and yet how oftentimes our flesh can enter in. And, you know, anytime we're impatient, anytime we're unkind, anytime we're stirring up things, you're not exhibiting that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Anytime we're harsh with our words, I have found myself falling out of the will of God, and I keep praying many times when I have my quiet times at night. It's like, oh, Lord, help me replicate this throughout the day. But even my intention is pure, and I want to follow God. Oftentimes, His will isn't being done.
Yeah, Mark, there are some things that I can pray with great confidence because the Scripture tells me what they are. It is God's will that all men be saved. He says it plainly. He says it clearly. So if I have an unsaved parent, I have an unsaved child, I have an unsaved friend, then I pray fervently, God, let your will be done there. Mm-hmm. Reveal yourself to that person. Call that person to you. Move in their life. As was just stated, if I have somebody that I find, I just don't like them. In fact, I kind of really despise them. And I'm supposed to love them. God, help me to love them.
Yes.
Let your kingdom come in my life. Mm-hmm. Help me in that thing. Mm-hmm. Now, what job should I take? Where should my child go to college? Or should they go to college? Should I sell my house and move to another house? What should I do in these? Well, you're not going to find a verse for that. Mm-mm. You've got to pray, God, show me your will. Mm-hmm. Open doors, close doors. Let me be at peace when a door closes. Let me be certain when a door opens that you're opening it. I'm not making a big, big mistake. You know, we had a young man in my youth group years ago, and he had made terrible decisions in life. and he came to Christ, and it turned him 180 degrees the other direction. His dad worked for a company that was constantly transferring them, and they came to him and said, "We are transferring you to this other city." His son, for the first time in his life, was in a youth group doing things, and he's now a pastor doing great. And the man looked at the corporation knowing that when people say no, they get fired. And he said, "I can't do that. My son's doing well for the first time in his life. He's turned a corner. God's done a great thing in his life. I'm not moving from this place until he's out of high school." And he thought, he came and talked to us at a prayer service. "I think I'll probably be fired Monday." And he went in and they said, "You know what? We're going to let you stay here." They tried to transfer him three more times during that young man's high school career. And each time he told them no, thinking he was going to be fired. But he said, "This is God's will. My son's doing well. I'm not going to mess with this." He took that as a higher place than serving his company. At the end of 3 years, when his son graduated and went off to school and did some other things, he went to the company and said, "If you want to transfer me now, I'll go." Yeah, "I'll do it now. I wouldn't do it then. My son was in too important of a place for me to let that go." So he understood what God's will, even if it was going to cost him his job, he felt like he knew what God's will was for him.
Oh, listening friend, as we reflect on "Your kingdom come, your will be done," as we pray this Lord's Prayer, we're reminded that following Jesus isn't just about what we believe, it's about surrender. It's choosing his ways over ours, his timing over ours, his purposes over ours. And the beautiful truth is this: when we seek his kingdom first, we can trust that he is faithfully working in and through our lives. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again, or maybe you're thinking of a friend you want to pass it along to, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, and they can listen, or you can listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Mark Johnson, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.